Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the work of the Lord. I love what He's doing. As the Lord gave me insight and understanding, and I ask for understanding quite often, as He gave me understanding and insight to what He's doing, I have greater joy. I walk in a greater measure of joy. Because I know that the Lord is saving souls. Sometimes we go through spells of time or periods of time, and we may not see people coming to the Lord like we desire to. And I tell you one thing, though. Lately, I've seen more people interested in the living things of God and pursuing God better than they used to. And I thank God for that. You know, like our band gets together and meet twice a month now. So I thank God for that. People are hungry. And I'm talking to people, and people's appetite, they have greater appetite for the real things of God. Not cold religion, but the real truth of God's word. And as we draw near to the Lord and He draw near to us, we begin to learn what He's like and His ways. And we see Him for who He is, not just versions of what man say He is. See, when we know, even the people we know, if you've been out of touch with a person that you know and love, because of time, you know a version of that person. You know, people that knew me in elementary school, they know a version of who I am. People that know me in high school, they know a version of who I was. But now, people, as we draw near to the Lord and He draw near to us, a process happens. We come to life. So people that knew me in my early 20s, they know a version of who I was as a Christian. See, before I was not a Christian. But they may know me as a decent person, but you know, they didn't know me as a man of God. So, and they saw me do things that a man that's not saved would do. Well, people that met me after I was 20 years old, they knew, they saw me as a baby Christian, and then as a man of God as I grew in the Lord. Now, as Christ is formed in us, we begin to live in His likeness. People that knew me when I was in my 30s, then 40s, you know, they knew, they began to know me as I grew in the Lord. And then people that knew me a long time ago, yeah, see, as we draw near to the Lord, He draw near to us, we understand things in a greater way. And you grow from glory to glory. We've been talking about growing, you know, the glories of God and how it affects our lives. So sometimes we do things that annoy people or get on their nerves because we're living from our perception. I've done it. But as you grow, you say, hey, okay, I understand. You know, it helps you to be long-suffering. It also helps you to be patient. And it helps you to not speak as fast as you would when you were younger. And, you know, just like God helps us grow and come out of darkness, we start understanding life in a greater way. And we know how to not make mistakes. Now, this is something I practice and I believe in doing. I don't hold people to their past. Or if they hurt me in the past, I let it go immediately. Because sometimes when people do things that aggravate you or hurt your feelings, or they may understand things the wrong way, it's because of how they see it from the point of view that they have at the time. And you have to give people room to grow. And I've been, you know, the reason I talk about how the way pastors did in the past, you know, I try to paint the best picture I can, because this is holy. What I'm saying is, you're dealing with people that handle holy things. And the purpose is, in all of these teachings that God gave me, see, the new generation I want them to, it's important, it's imperative to understand, to stick with the living love of God. Don't hold people to their worst moments in life. If they misunderstand you, you know, I was misunderstood. I felt misunderstood. But the Lord had to prepare me not to take it personal. And I began to understand that what God was trying to get over to me, that there was a problem. And it hinders him. See, God can't move on a person if they are immature. Or if they, you know, now Kenneth Copeland said something, and I love the Victory. I highly recommend the Victory Channel. And me and my wife watch it every day. But Kenneth Copeland said something that was relevant to something that the Lord had also shared with me. He talked about this. Now, this was a long time ago. The Lord told him, he said, "I love you, Kenneth, but I don't like you very much." And he said, why? He said, because your temper, you get angry too easy with people. And so he immediately repented of it. When he said that, the Lord also said, you get angry, I can't quote it, but you get angry too easy, and I can't enlarge your ministry because of it. Now, that's what I wanted to point out. That's why I said a few broadcasts ago that I don't blame the pastors for the way that they behaved or did things, or the way I perceived the way they did things. I said because they were just being people. That's a people problem. But the reason I go all around the mountain and talk about all these things that I'd rather not talk about anyway is for the sake of, I want to give an illustration of how it causes people, it hinders the process. When we're not on the same page with the Lord and we do things our way, it can rub people the wrong way. It can hinder what God wants to do. If people have a preeminent attitude, the Holy Spirit, that's going to stop what the Holy Spirit can do in that person's life. And that's a setback to the whole body. I want you to understand something. We are a body. And we got to be for each other, just like we love God and we want God to love us, and he does. And then there's another problem, wanting to be God's best. Well, what if we just want to be the best we could be? I would rather for everybody else in the world to do better than me. That way, and if I'm following God perfectly, you know, to his standards and specifications, and everybody do a greater job, then guess what? The body of Christ is stronger in the earth. And that's what I'm after. I don't want people to be... I've seen too many preachers beset over the way people treat them. They mean well, and they were going forward. They did good. And then when people slighted them or treated them a certain way, then they got, you know, some got in strife, some backed off, some backslid. And these things, and some just kind of felt despondent, and they didn't really try to grow their ministries anymore. But see, if God called you to the ministry, that means he has something specific for you to do. Now, if God called me to the ministry, I need to be doing specifically what God wants me to do. God deserves, he gave his best, and he deserves my best. That's why I said in yesterday's broadcast, I want my whole life to be worship. I give God my whole life. And I want Jesus to bless it and give it back to me in abundance. Because if I can stay yielded to the Lord, he can use what I have. He can use my talents, my wit, my humor, my might, you know, everything about me. He can use it to his glory. And he can help me to walk in greater glory so I can be more useful. He can help me be understanding to people that need that. People need you to understand them. They need you to be understanding toward them. They need you to be long-suffering. And it's my desire to be the best I can be for the sake of my brothers and sisters that I love very much. It's important and imperative. And God deserves the best. Now, think of a body. All right? You're doing your part. But here, over here, somebody's the hand, and the hand is spasming. It's not functioning right. Well, that's a loss. Or if a person, if there's a pastor out there or a preacher that they love God, but they have preeminent ways where the Holy Spirit can't light on them and rest on their lives. See, John saw the Holy Spirit rest on Jesus and remain. Now, when people are humble and they repent from dead works, then the Holy Spirit will come towards them. But when they walk in the ways of God in maturity and sincere love, you know, they worship in spirit and in truth for a change. Now the Holy Spirit can rest on them. And if they continue in the ways of God and Christ is formed in them completely, then the Holy Spirit will remain on them. Some people, they get full of the Holy Ghost, and then a few days later they get in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit can't rest on them at that while they're in the flesh or whatever. I've seen people go back teetering back and forth, and then having faith accidents. A miracle happened this week, and then next week, so they blow it. I've seen all these things happen over the years. But what God gave us can give us covenant stability. Now, that's a new word. I didn't know that was coming. Okay, covenant appropriate. He can help us be covenant appropriate, and he can also give a man that's teetering covenant stability. And eventually he'll have covenant laughter. And see, you can live in these things. You can live in the Spirit of God. You don't have to go back to the teetering ways of the world. And so I do these broadcasts to give people illustrations of what they're going to face, because people are still doing what they did in the 80s and 90s, 2000s, and here it is in 2022. And today's date is February the 18th, Friday, February 18th, 2022. So people are no different. And like I said in last week's broadcast, that there's never been a time in history that there are so many people who want to follow God, who are following God, who have covenant laughter, who are covenant appropriate. They can relate to what I'm saying. And you know, When you're there, when you live in the secret place and somebody's talking about life in the secret place, you can identify with it because you live that way. And sometimes you're living in the secret place and nobody else can believe it because they're not. And people don't expect you to do something that they are not doing or cannot do. But and you start realizing that everybody's not the same. Even those that are excelling in ministry, they're not always able to bridle their emotion and be long-suffering. They don't always do the things of God to God's specifications, to the Word of God's specifications. Some people, they struggle back and forth. But my greatest desire is for everybody to be on board. I don't want to. If a person gets in preeminent pride or whatever, it's a loss to the body because it's kind of like a V8. One of the cylinders stopped firing. They call that a misfire. That's the term for it, misfire. Well, if you're racing the car and it starts misfiring, the other guy's going to win unless he's got a worse motor than you. But when you're hitting every cylinder like it's supposed to, it's a smooth ride. And the car runs like it's supposed to. It pulls the load and it can move. So we need everybody on board. But guess what? Some people won't get on board. Even the Pharisees that gave Jesus trouble, they should have been following Jesus too. But they were enemies against him. So the real body of Christ, we need every member in the real body of Christ to not misfire. Now, the Lord wanted me to share this today. He wanted me to talk about knowing God, knowing his ways. Now, people instinctively believe that God condones what they condone, and God abhors what they abhor. But he don't. He does what the word does. See, you might not like your enemies very much, and you might want God to judge your enemies and bless your friends. Well, guess what? God is going to do justice everywhere he goes, and he don't want to judge anybody. He want to bless your enemies just like he want to bless you. And he want to bless your friends just like he want to bless you. And if your friends, family members, parents, or children cut up, then he will judge them. But to everybody, he's long-suffering. I put it this way. Jesus gave Jezebel in Revelation, and this address to the church that had a Jezebel in it. He gave old crazy Jezebel a space of time to repent. So don't be so hard on people. My goal is not to see the judgment hammer fall on people. I want to prevent it if it's possible. Even people that did me wrong, I would rather see them reuniting with God for real, living their life in spirit and in truth, growing in glory, and getting out of the world. Now, I thank God that he gave me a future, because my past was not, you know, people that knew me before I was a Christian, they saw me do things I'd rather not think about anymore. But people grow and change, and you have to give people room to grow and change. Now, knowing God is different than knowing of God. See, when Moses, the Lord let him know that he talked to Moses face to face, but the other prophets, he gave them prophecies, but he talked to Moses face to face. He didn't talk to them face to face. So we have to enter into the greater glories of God. And he'll talk to you face to face. Now, by the Holy Spirit, every child of God that's born again and should be filled with the Holy Spirit, they have the ability to walk and talk with the Lord face to face. And I recommend people strengthen their relationship so that they can hear the Lord and relate to him and get to the point where they talk to the Lord face to face. Sometimes I talk about dialoguing. That happened after I got a word base. He told me to study his word 15 chapters a day. And after 3 months of doing that, and I kept drawing near to the Lord, I wasn't just reading books, reading chapters. I was receiving what I read. And I was asking questions and learning and growing every day. And I would not go to sleep until I read those 15 chapters. And then In worship one day, I asked the Lord some questions, and he answered me. And I didn't pass out like I normally did. I didn't just faint and fall on the floor and be slain in the spirit. This time I could talk to him and listen to him, and he started dialoguing with me. See, the angel that touched Daniel when he kept passing out, the one that looked like a human, he said, "Now you strengthen me." He said, "I can't talk to you." He kept passing out in the presence of God. Well, that normally happens, but when you have the word in you, when he was touched by the angel that looked like a human, a man, the one that looked like a man, he was strengthened, and he could talk. When the coal touched Isaiah's lips, he was strengthened, and he his sin was purged, and he could. When the Lord said, "Who will go for me?" He said, "Here am I, send me." And he didn't feel like the prominent prophet, because he said, "I was also," you know, he was there also. He put himself as, you know, "God got me up here with these greater prophets." But he became the one God used. God was fishing. The Lord, the Father, was fishing for who the best person to give this assignment to. And Isaiah received it because the coal touched his lips. He did something about the sin that he knew about. "Here am I, send me." "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, you are the Christ, Son of God. And he said it by faith. And Jesus pointed out, flesh and blood didn't give you this, Peter, but the Father calls you to understand it. And on this rock I build my church. He had revelation knowledge of who Jesus was. It wasn't just a cliche saying. Other people said that he was the Messiah, or suspected that he was the Messiah. But Peter said it by revelation. And Jesus was fishing, I believe, for who would be a point man. And Peter ended up, you know, being the one that Jesus said, when he told him that Satan has desired to sift your mind as wheat. He said, but I pray for you. And when you strengthen your brothers. And he was the one that strengthened them. All of them. That scattered. So listen. God loves us. And he builds on faith. That's something you got to understand about him. He's foundational. Very important to know that God is foundational. Listen to this. This will prove it. When the Lord gave me this broadcast, this is what he gave me, Psalms 15. David, he was a king, and he had been to battle before. Now, I want you to use your imagination because of what David said. And verse 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Okay. Think about it. A tabernacle is something, a tent, basically. All right, when men go to war, now this is how I understood it when I read it years ago. You got all these men on the battlefield in their tents. They're between battles. And I'm sure David was just looking out, seeing people, birds of a feather flock together. So David asked the Lord the question, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And the Lord responded. Verse 2 said, he that walks uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Sincerity. Verse 3, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. See, these are things that cause the Holy Spirit not to light on a man. Verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Ouch. At the word, you know, in my most challenging moments, I had to keep my word to people. In verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Now, this is the kind of person that the Holy Spirit can rest upon. This is why the Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus and remained in the eyesight of John. So, this is who God is. And the Lord loves fail-safe. That's why he made priests. He got a priest to lead Israel out of Egypt. And not only a priest, but the meekest man on earth, which is Moses at that time. There was no man on earth more meek than Moses. And Moses passed tests. He passed the test of life. Instead of indulging in sin and the pleasures of sin for a season, he stood for something. See, this is the kind of person that God can. This is the heart of God. This man loved what was right. And he loved what was true. And he loved what was real. And he loved the things of God. And he was a priest. He was a Levite. So this answers David's question. You know, you see certain friends, they flock to certain, you know, members of the army, you know, that's how people do. So he asked, Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who should dwell in thy holy hill? You know, now this is just my imagination of why David said this. Something inspired him to wonder, what kind of person does God hang out with? And he that walks uprightly, he that works righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. In his heart. Not just his mind, not just for a show. This is the way he is. Spirit and in truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Nor take up reproach against his neighbor. This is the kind of person that the Lord wants around him. So, just like Kenneth Copeland, when the Lord told him what he said, he repented immediately. And you know, since I've been a Christian, God blessed him with a platform. He's on TV every day, all day. And it's been that way for years. You know, great spiritual wealth is on his life. Because I know people that listen to him more than me. And he's a man of high dedication and a man of integrity. From where I sit and from what I see, he is. Now, some people say, well, he wants an airplane. When, you know, it's kind of like some people in life, if you got spiritual wealth on your, Jesus put it this way, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. Do I want an airplane? No. You can't give me an airplane unless God need me to have one. I don't have any desire at all for a plane. But he's a pilot. And it doesn't matter what you have in this life. It's how you get it. It's what you do. It's how you get it. But when you're on TV every day, all day, blessing people all the time, and you know, I understand spiritual wealth. It gets on your life, and you can do some